In Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, there is one verse of Scripture that I look at that you probably know by heart. Very important verse. Bear in mind, when this verse was written, there was no local hospital. There was no means of knowing how the human body worked. All they knew was that God was their Creator. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. Leviticus 17, 11. And the amazing part of it is that what God reveals in ages to come, He knew all along because He's our Creator. He is the one that is there for us. And in this particular verse, He makes a statement which was unknown to them. It's common logic to us now. But we're on the other side of that manifestation of the reality of God's creation, mankind. When He said, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." You don't believe that? Stop letting your heart pump the blood through your body and see what happens to you. When someone flatlines and the blood stops, what happens? Life ceases. They die. It's exactly right. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. The word atonement, there's theological words that can be very confusing to people that don't know a lot about the Bible. But the easiest way to look at that is the first part of atonement is atone. And if you take the word atone and break it down by the syllables, it's really at one. And what that means is if you're lost, you're separated from God. But through the precious blood of Christ, we're at one with God. We're reunited with God. God brings us into His family. We know that without the blood, there can be no life to the physical body. Also, without the blood of Christ, there is no life to Christianity. The life of Christianity comes about through the precious, precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's one of the most important doctrines in the Word of God. I hope that I did not count incorrectly, but if I counted correctly, from my studies, the blood is mentioned 427 times in your Bible. It must be important for God to mention it that much. And the reason that He mentions it so much, He declares it in this passage, because it's the blood that makes the atonement for our soul. God's concerned more about your soul than simply your pleasure in physical living. If we see great healing come to your body, but yet you die lost without the Lord, then life for you has been in vain because you're not prepared to meet God. The early church started out and they didn't forsake that message. If I count right, there's four different preachers that preach sermons in the book of Acts. And they preach 22 messages in the early church, in the action of the church or the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, on all of those messages, all 22 of them, guess what the theme of the messages were all about? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They may have incorporated other things, but 22 times they talk about Jesus dying, Jesus being buried, Jesus raising from the dead. And the reason that they do that is they know the essence of our entire Christian life lies concerning the precious blood. The Bible says Jesus Himself said when He said at the Last Supper, He said, "For this is My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many." The Bible says in almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. He said we have redemption through the blood, even forgiveness of sin. The Bible said we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. And the reason that the message of the blood never grows old is the blood of Jesus that the writer John tells us that cleanseth us from all sin. Without the blood, we have no message to preach. And in fact, I am alarmed in the day we're living in that the message of the blood is no longer as significant in the church as what it was a few years ago. When I started preaching, and I'm not that old. I've been preaching 31 years. But when you'd preach on the blood, people got excited about it. Today, they know everything about it. But what does it change the fact that if you've been saved for 50 years, you're saved because of the blood of Christ? And take the blood of Jesus out of our pulpit. Take the blood of Jesus out of our songbooks.
take the blood of Jesus out of our church services, and we really don't have anything to offer hope to people with. But it's the blood of Christ that makes the difference. I guess that it's so important for us to preach on it because the blood in your body right now, it's internal. It's not external. I can't see your blood. I can't see it flowing through your body. But I know that it's flowing because the evidence is life. And it's not external. For it to be external means there has to be pain involved. You have to be cut for me to be able to see the blood. But let me say this. You may not see the blood of Jesus by looking around tonight. And it's not external as far as being visible to the eye. But you can be assured of this. It is internal. There is glory to God. There is a work inside the heart that only the blood of Jesus can do. How do you know that? Because the church that fails to preach the blood is a church that is dead. Without the preaching of the blood, there is no life. But there is life in any church that stands for and loves and preaches and teaches. It's the blood of Jesus that saves from all sin and unrighteousness. This blessed book is a portrait of the blood. The brushstrokes of the blood are in every page of the Bible. R.G. Lee said, you can cut the Bible anywhere and every verse will bleed with the blood of Jesus. I believe the central theme of the Bible is the blood of Christ. Why is the blood so significant? Well, let's look at the blood in analysis. In analysis, the blood is perfect. The blood of Jesus is perfect. The virgin birth of Christ established His righteousness. The Bible clearly teaches that Jesus was born of a virgin because He did not possess the original sin. What do you mean the original sin? That nature of Adam that we all have, it's passed on. It's passed on and we're shapen in our iniquity and in our sin. But when Jesus was conceived, He was conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost. And a virgin was His mother. A woman that had never known a man. So He did not possess the original sin. And through that we find out, if we could analyze it, His blood was perfect in every sense of the word. There was no human male DNA factors involved with His blood. You say, that's impossible. That's why we call it a miracle. It's impossible, but I still believe it. I'm glad 10 of you believe it too. Pilate said that His blood was perfect when he said, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. Paul said, for He, referring to God, hath made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We also find out that His enemies said, I find no fault in Him. The Bible says of Jesus Himself, speaking one day, which of you convinceth me of sin? What He was saying is, go ahead. I'll put it in layman's terms. Go ahead. You can't lay a finger on my life. Perfection. Why? Because it took a perfect lamb to shed perfect blood that you and I might be saved. That's why my blood could not save you. My blood cannot take your sin away. The blood of anyone in here cannot save you. But all the perfect blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to the cleansing of all your sin. In application, the blood is pure. It's not only perfect, but when it's applied, it's pure. That's significant. So significant. Todd sang tonight. Todd went through a process of bone marrow transplant. In that process, basically what they do is, if you have in your blood system the disease that is raging, you still have good, but you have bad. So they give you treatments before they ever give you the transplant. And the treatments kill out the good and the bad. Then the idea is they take a donor and they put in that bone marrow that is pure. The idea then being that the pure will grow quicker than the bad has a chance and overcome the bad. But you know, that's not how the blood of Christ works. The blood of Christ is not a replacement. The blood of Christ doesn't have to grow quicker than the bad. The blood of Christ has the ability to come in with its purity and say, listen, there is no bad, because when the blood of Christ comes in, His blood has the power to destroy the bad and make us good. We have no merits to claim on our own. All of our goodness is because of the precious purity of the blood of Jesus Christ.
My mom took dialysis for 4 or 5 years. Your system, if your kidneys fail, will build up poisons. And what they do is they try to filter out those poisons. And there's two processes with that. One is they have to pull off the fluids. And the other is they remove the poisons. And it's hard to keep a balance between the two. But for lack of a better word, and putting it in layman's terms, they were filtering her blood for 3.5, 4, 4.5 hours. And that's pretty accurate, isn't it, Gary? Am I close enough on that? Gary's on dialysis. If you don't take dialysis, brother, what'll happen to you? You don't even want to think about it, do you? Poisons will build up in your body. That's what will happen. Won't be a matter of time until they finally overcome you. You have to have that to get rid of that. But you know what? The blood of Jesus is not a filter. What if we could say to you tonight, there is a means whereby that you'll no longer have to have your blood filtered, but what we can do is replace your blood with pure blood, and you'll never be battled with that again. I'd say if they made an offer to you like that, what would you do, Gary? You'd go right after it, wouldn't you? Well, you know what? Better than that, the Lord made you another offer. The Lord said one day, Gary, you're dying in sins and transgressions. And I tell you what I'll do. You're dependent on your flesh. And your flesh is going to die. But I'll give you the precious blood of Jesus, the eternal sacrifice. And that's not a means to filter our blood. That's a means to give us new life in Christ. Because His blood is pure. The Word of God says, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You'll have no desire to serve God till the purity of the blood comes in. I'm about to have a fit tonight. I'm telling you, His blood is pure. Blood is perfect. In action, His blood is perpetual. What do you mean by that? Well, in the Old Testament, they'd come and they'd offer just what I read. Bulls, goats, heifers. They'd have to have a sacrifice. Every year, they'd keep coming. In the temple, every morning, there was a sacrifice. Kevin taught in Sunday school this morning. Every evening, there had to be a sacrifice. Morning sacrifice, evening sacrifice. Why? Because people continue to sin. And they had to have a sacrifice to cover up that sin. God said sin was always there. People became aware of sin. There had to be some means for people to find forgiveness of their sin. But Jesus came one day and offered His blood on Calvary's cross. I'm on preaching ground right now. And when that blood was presented to the Heavenly Father said, you know what? That sacrifice is an eternal sacrifice. That's the last blood that I'll ever need. I no longer need the blood of bulls and goats and heifers and turtle doves. But the blood of Jesus will last forever and ever. For 2,000 years, men, women, boys and girls have been coming to the precious blood of Christ and having their sins forgiven. And tonight, 2,000 years later, the blood still has the power to wash your sin away and change your life. I'm saying the blood is still there, and it'll be there tomorrow and the next day and the next day. 31 years of preaching it. Thank God it's still the blood that changes people's lives. Perpetual. Oh, bless His name. The Bible says in the Word of God, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Somebody said, well, you think the blood will be in heaven? Now, I get ridiculed over this a lot. I sure do. Why? Because it's eternal redemption. See, when you come to the Lord and you say, Lord, I have sinned. I'm sorry that I've sinned. I know what a lot of you are looking at. You're thinking, well, if I can do this many things good, and I can finally get my life so I'm doing more good than bad,
It's like the disease in your body. If I can get more good cells than bad, I'll be all right. But that's not how the blood works. You see, God really doesn't care about all the good things you've done. It really don't matter anyway until you get saved. See, you're working for another master until you get saved. There's another owner of your soul until you get saved. And all the work that you do, your payday will be death. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when you come tonight by faith and say, Lord, I don't have the power to save myself. Come into my life and forgive me of my sin. It's not by one thing that you have ever done, but because of the mercy of God, accepting the eternal sacrifice for the redemption of your soul. The blood pays the account in full, and you can be saved. Glory, glory, glory. Jesus said Himself that the blood was an everlasting covenant. In accomplishment, the blood is powerful. We're told that they overcome the wicked one, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What they testify about? The blood. I'm not concerned about all these false religions. You know why? They don't have any power. You take the blood out, you don't have any power because you don't have any life. Dead people can't fight. Dead people can't talk. Dead people can't witness. Dead people can't say amen. Some of you hadn't said amen. What's that mean? Dead people don't shout. See, we've got enemies against the blood of Christ. They don't understand. In fact, some places say, well, what you do, the Old Testament's done away with. No, it's not. Jesus said, I've come that the law might be fulfilled. Everything in the Old Testament was a precursor and prerequisite to the fact that Jesus was coming to give His blood. And the attack worldwide is against the blood. Now, hear me. You're not discipled into salvation. It's powerful. And it's instant. That means you don't have to know one verse of Scripture tonight for Jesus to save your soul. Glory, glory. You don't have to name one apostle for Jesus to take your sin away. You may not be able to tell me the first book in the Bible or the last book in the Bible to know that Jesus will save you of your sin. You may not have even heard anything about the Lord until tonight, but He'll still save you of all your sin. That's the power of the blood. That's why the attack is against it. Mary Baker Eddy, you ever hear of the Christian Science movement? She's the founder. She wrote this, the material blood of Jesus is no more efficient to cleanse from sin when it was shed upon the cursed tree than when it was flowing through His veins. Sure hate that for all those movie people trusting her. I wonder, at the end of all of it, when you see Him face to face, how would you like to look Him in the eye and say, Jesus, your blood has no power to cleanse from sin. That's how it was founded. A Bible teacher, I'm not going to name him, he's alive. He's in Texas. You better be careful who you follow. I'm reading a quote from his book. The red liquid that runs through the veins and arteries of Jesus' mortal body is not related to our salvation. It might not be related to His salvation, but it's all my salvation. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The old account was growing every day. And every time I'd do something to take it away, I couldn't take it away. But thank God for the power of the blood, that in a moment of time, an instant so fast that my heart and mind could hardly conceive it. In one moment I was in darkness, and the next moment I was in light. In one moment I was in ignorance, and the next moment I was in enlightenment. Thank God for the power of the blood of Jesus that changes our life, makes us a new creature.
The blood is permanent. Now listen, if you don't listen to what I'm saying, that doesn't give you a license to go sin. That's not a license, a blank check to cover everything wrong you'll do in the future. You can't come to the Lord and say, I'm saved, now I'm under grace, I can do anything I want. Should we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. I'm talking about in acquittal. To be acquitted of something means you have to be charged with something in your past. It is a legal term. Now, let me give you an example of what I mean. When something is acquitted, it means to pay off or to clear or to absolve. It's acquitted. It's cleared. You're cleared of it. In a court of law, when you are charged with something and it comes back that you are not guilty, that means, help me out here, where's my lawyer at, local attorney? That means they can never charge you with that crime again. Now, I'm going to upset a lot of people because everyone's got a different opinion on it, and I really don't care about your opinion, but it'll make my point. O.J. Simpson was acquitted of murder. Some of you are like, oh, bless God, he was guilty of it. And others will say, whoa, yeah, man, I watched it all. 16 hours a day. The truth of the matter is, I'm not saying that you have the answer or not. Here's my point. Whether you think he's still guilty or not, that doesn't change the fact he was acquitted. That means they cannot bring those same charges against him anymore. He is acquitted of that. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Do you know what the Bible says of the devil? He's an accuser of the brethren. He'll go back and try to bring out those old charges over and over and over again. And the Lord's going to say, how are you going to judge them or bring up something that's already been judged? They've been acquitted. I have found them not guilty by the blood of Jesus. All their sins are gone. They are acquitted. Not guilty. Do you know what that means? The day of judgment. And the verdict comes in. The chief justice of all the universe will be able to say, not guilty. Oh, but I was there, God. I saw them when they drank and when they did drugs and when they cheated and when they lied and when they done all. See, that's the problem. You don't have the power to acquit. But thank God Jesus does. I'm about to have a spell tonight. There's things that you've done that nobody else in this whole world knows except God and you and the devil. And on that day, the devil will bring it out. But thank God Jesus is going to say, the verdict's already in. One night in altar prayer, they come to Christ and trusted in the shed blood. And the verdict is not guilty. Glory, glory, glory. Is there anybody else happy that the guilt is gone? Oh, glory. They're gone. They're gone. They're gone. I don't know if I'm going to make it through this or not. In appraisal, the blood is precious. If you want to know how valuable something is, appraise it. You may not have a dollar in your bank account. You may not have $5 in your wallet. You may not, gentlemen, have a new suit in your closet. Ladies, your dress may be a hand-me-down. You may have shoes that have holes in the bottom of them. You may have an automobile that's put together with baling wire and duct tape. But you can still say, that's not what makes me a rich man. Because, did you hear what I said in the beginning? You can't see the blood. It's internal. But if you can see what's in my heart, you can understand why I can say, oh yes,
Oh, yes, I'm a child of the King. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ because I'm part of the family. How are you part of the family? I've got blood rights. We're relatives through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. If you want to find out what your worth is based on His blood.
Wouldn't take you long to assess the appraisal, some of you, of everything you own. And the world doesn't understand it, but you're still the richest person that the world has ever known. One other thing, in its aggression, the blood is protective. Exodus 2 is where we learn about it. Death was coming. The Lord was moving through the land. Not the death angel, the Lord. You hear what I said? Not the death angel, it's the Lord. He's moving through the land, and the Lord gave them a command. Take the blood of the lamb. Roast the lamb. Eat the lamb. Have your feet shod with your shoes. Have your belongings packed up. Oh yeah, don't forget. Put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. And He said, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The blood protected the families. The blood was there. They had no fears. They had no concern. I'm about to preach tonight because the blood was absolutely their source of protection. They had trusted what God told them. By faith, they did what God said to do. And you listen tonight. There's not 100 ways to heaven. There's one way to heaven. And if you'll come by faith tonight and do what God says to do, what does God say to do? The Lord says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, what are you confessing? You're confessing that He has the power to save you, that He died, that He rose again from the grave. And the reason that He rose is to make intercession for you, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank God we have a covering. And the Lord says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So tonight, I'm not asking you to come to Calvin Ray Evans. And we have a wonderful church and wonderful people, but I'm not asking you to come to the church. I'm asking you to come by faith. And you say, preacher, you don't know what all I've done. Don't really matter what all you've done once you're quitted. Some of you, I know where you come from. You should have shouted on that point. It don't matter what you've done once you're acquitted. You say, well, I got to get some things in line. No, you have nothing to do with this thing. He got it all lined out on Calvary. I'm not saying there won't be things you need to make right after you're saved, but the important thing is you need to start by getting saved. You don't clean up your life and then get saved. You get saved to clean up your life. You don't have the power to do it. It's the blood that has the power to make the change. Can I ask this tonight, and you all be honest. Be honest. All the Christians, be honest. Is there a change in your heart since Jesus came in? Is there anybody here that knows you're not the person you used to be? Is there anybody here tonight that knows good and well it was the power of the blood that lifted the burden of sin and saved your soul? It's still the blood. Without the blood, we have no hope for you. But I've got good news. It's a message of hope. A message that says you don't have to die lost without Jesus. A message that says there's a way out of all of this. There's a way that leads to Him. And that way to heaven is Jesus Christ. And if you'll come tonight, He'll
forgive you of your sin. And if He's done it for all of us, He'll do it for you. You'll not learn your way into it. You'll not fight your way into it. You'll not buy your way into it. You have to believe it to be saved.